Good morning, church, and welcome to our sixth week of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And this week we're going to be dealing with daily office and Sabbath. And you might be wondering what that's about, but you're going to find out in a moment. This week I'm really excited because this is really super practical in terms of what we're going to talk about and how to implement it. But I'm also really excited because I'm so aware that if we were to do this and put these things into practice, the way it's spoken about in this chapter, we really could see our lives completely changed. The discipline of daily office and Sabbath deal with three characteristics that we mentioned in week one when it came to talking about characteristics that show that we're unhealthy. And that was putting God in a box, sacred, circular, keeping things separate, doing, I need to do, I need to perform, and our inability to live within our limits. And what we're going to look at today is going to help us to deal with those three characteristics and help us to become emotionally and spiritually healthy. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes life feels like a blizzard. Really busy, really hectic. You feel like you can't even see what's going on. And lockdown in some ways has been great because it's forced us to slow down a bit. We've got rid of the commute. We've got rid of some of the busyness of getting from one place to the other. But in other ways, life in lockdown has still felt a little bit like a blizzard. There's still stuff coming in, and now it's emails and Zoom meetings and trying to remember to get the children to their Zoom meetings, get yourself to your Zoom meetings, and it's still really hectic. Now, in the book, Peter Cesera tells a story about how in the Midwest they have blizzards. Blizzards so bad that when you walk outside, you can see nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean what they do is the farmers attach ropes to their barns and they attach them to the front door of their house because the blizzards come up so quickly. And so if they're in their barn, they're able to grab hold of the rope and make their way back to their house because the blizzard is so bad, you actually cannot see the house just a few meters away. Some people have even died on their doorsteps because they didn't realize how close to their house they actually were. So this rope, this lifeline, helps to save them and to keep them safe. Now, as I said, life feels like a blizzard and we need a lifeline, and God has given us a lifeline. Daily office and Sabbath are God's lifeline to us. They're a way for us to navigate the blizzard of life and to draw closer to Him and to have the life that He wants for us. Now, the starting place for this lifeline of daily office and Sabbath is found in Exodus chapter 20. So let me read it to you from verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is one of the Ten Commandments. It's probably one of the longest commandments found in the Ten Commandments. And it is a commandment that we've found throughout history and we continue to have and we continue to need to obey. In the New Testament, Jesus speaks about the Sabbath. Jesus keeps the Sabbath. Paul speaks about the Sabbath. So it's not something that's disappeared. But in our Western culture, keeping a Sabbath has become such a difficult thing to do and has lost its priority, lost its importance that it had when this command was first written. So this chapter, this message this morning looks at the fact that when we keep the Sabbath, when we keep the daily office, we are able to be obedient to God, we're able to be function the way God created us to function, and we're able to become people who love God more and love people more, which is always our goal. So this daily office that I've been speaking about, what is it? Well, daily office can be described as mini Sabbaths taken throughout the day. The daily office came about from the from the monks in the monasteries. This is something they did, they developed. Saint Benedict developed it as part of his rule, which rule for life, which has had such an impact on Western culture. The idea was that the daily office is the work of God. It's a time set aside to pray. The monks in the monasteries pray between 6 to 9 times a day, where they will have an hour set aside where they will go pray, and they'll have 6 of those throughout the day. Some of them getting up at 3:45 in the morning to start this process. This daily office, this work of God, is a case of us, the Creator, creation, making an offering to the Creator. It's us turning to God in order to be with Him and not to get something from Him. This daily office, this process of having mini Sabbath throughout the day, is different to a quiet time. It's not us coming to God and saying to God, here's a question, I need an answer. Like, which university should I go to? What career should I choose? It's not us praying and asking for healing for somebody, or praying and asking for God to help us in an area. This daily office is us coming to be with God without an agenda, wanting to spend time with the love of our life. That's why it's different. And it's not just a section put into our day. You know, we have 30 minutes at the beginning of the day when we're going to do some prayer, we're going to do some Bible reading, and then that's going to be it for the day. Daily office is a case of getting into a habit of coming into the presence of God throughout the day. That's why the monks have set aside all these 6 hours of prayer time that they have during their day, on top of their duties in the monastery. It's not like it's the only thing they do. They have 6 hours, some of them, of manual labor, other duties. But when it comes to spending time with God, it's their priority. Nothing comes above it. Daily office is a case of creating a rhythm that lasts all day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. David, 7 times a day. In the New Testament, we see the disciples going off for regular times of prayer, probably 2 to 3 times. Paul speaks about praying without ceasing. Daily office is a way for us to develop a habit of being continually in the presence of God, being close to Him throughout the day. So there's no part of our life that doesn't fall under Him. There's no part of our life where we're not going to be led by Him, where we're not aware that He is involved and that we are always in relationship with Him, no matter where we find ourselves: work, school, uni, at home, at the pub, in the park. We're with God and God is with us. So what are some of these elements of this daily office that we're talking about? How do we go about a daily office, a time of prayer with God? Well, the first thing that we need when it comes to a daily office is we've got to stop. When I've been doing the devotional book that goes along with Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, it's a book that helps you to develop a daily office. And the idea is that you use this book to guide you through the principles that we're going to speak about. And it suggests that you do a daily office 2 to 3 times a day: morning, lunchtime, mid-evening, and evening. Now, I'll be honest with you. This message is something that I'm working through. As I speak to you about daily office, as I speak to you about Sabbath, it is not something that I have got right. And as I've been working and trying to develop this daily office, I've loved it. It's been great, but it's certainly not been something that's happened every day or twice a day during lockdown. But what the first thing it requires is for us to stop. Stop what we're doing, no matter what that is, and choose God. Choose to spend time with Him. Make Him the priority. So we choose a time: morning, lunchtime, evening, all 3 if possible, when we're going to say, at that time, I have a meeting with God and I am going to stop. The next thing we need to do once we stop doing everything is we need to center. Now, you may remember from our prayer course, Peter Grieg talks about this, about centering. It's all well and good stopping what we're doing and going, okay, God, I'm here. But if we're not focused on Him, if we're not listening to Him, if we're thinking about what we need to make for supper when we get home, if we're thinking about the to-do list we have after lunch, if we're thinking about the kids' extracurricular activities, the stuff that needs to happen for the weekend, well, we might have stopped, but we're not focused. We're not centered. So that after stopping, the next thing we have to do is center ourselves. get rid of all the thoughts about everything else and give God our full attention. Now, there's a few ways we can do this. Some of them, as Peter Gregg suggested, is to pray a prayer, whatever it may be. You might just be saying Jesus' name, so focusing on him. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. It might be, oh God, my Father, help me hear you. Whatever it may be, it might just be breathing. Breathing out and breathing in as you begin to focus and go, God, I'm here, I'm listening to you. Maybe at the beginning of your daily office, you just need to go through all the things that are on your mind. God, I'm thinking about lunch. I've got this on my to-do list afterwards. I need to pick up the children, and this evening when I get home, I need to do that. But right now, that's all that's in my head. So I'm handing it to you, and now I just want to be quiet and listen to you. So once we've stopped, once we're centered, we're present, we're really listening to God, not thinking about a whole bunch of other things, then we can be quiet. Do you know that in the book, Peter Cesera says that most churches can only handle 15 seconds of silence. And everybody starts to get a bit awkward. People don't like silence. We live in a world that's full of noise. If it's not people talking or the music playing in the background, the TV's on, our phones are going, just being quiet is really hard. I don't know about you, but lockdown's been great in terms of hearing stuff. I know a lot of people have mentioned how great it's been to hear the birds, how great it's been to look at blue skies, how great it is to hear even the crickets and as you're walking through the common, etc. And why can we hear that? Because it's quieter than normal. We don't have aeroplanes going overhead. We don't have cars driving past, trains. There's been a lot less of that. And so in the quiet, in the silence, we've been able to hear much more. And it's the same when we come to God. We need the silence so we can hear. We need to turn down the noise of the blizzard, of the hecticness of life, and come to God in the silence. It's interesting that how God will speak to us when we listen, when we tune everything else out and we listen, and how loud his voice sounds in those moments. So we stop, we center, we get quiet, we get silent, and then we turn to Scripture. Because through Scripture, God leads us. God speaks to us. We can use the book of Psalms for centuries. That has been the prayer book of our faith. And there are 150 Psalms that we can turn to that cover every area, all of our emotions, all of our feelings. God is able to speak through them to us. So we can use the Psalms, we can use other scriptures, but we come to God. And we're not coming to the scripture to get information, you know, so we can increase our ability to win the pub quiz on a Tuesday night. No, we're coming to hear from God. We're coming to hear what he's got to say. So we take the scripture, we read through it, we pray through it, we meditate. We may get stuck on just one verse of scripture, but we take it and we look at it. We think about it. We contemplate over it, and we allow God to speak to us in whichever way he wants to. And that is the daily office. And it's suggested that we learn to do this 2 to 3 times a day. And if we learn to do this 2 to 3 times a day, imagine what our lives are going to look like. So often we begin our day with a quiet time, you know, scripture reading and prayer, or at the end of our day. And somewhere in between, we just don't think about God. But when we do the daily office, when we create a habit, a rhythm of being in God's presence all the time, and this daily office that we've spoken about, the stopping, centering, quietness, and scripture reading, meditation, can be 2 minutes long, or it can be 30 minutes long. It can just be a moment of standing there in God's beautiful creation, and just taking a moment just to be quiet and just to hear him and just to be with him. And that can be it. It literally can be 2 minutes. But in those 2 minutes of being absolutely present with God, transformation is going to take place. I fully and honestly believe we cannot be in the presence of God and not be changed. If we're in his presence and we allow him to breathe on us, if we allow him to speak to us, we allow him into our heart to touch and change us, we are going to be completely different. We're going to notice it. The people around us are going to notice it. Our lives are going to be that much better. We're going to have a way out of the blizzard and the hecticness of life. But daily office is not the only thing that is suggested as a habit. And this one isn't suggested. This one is commanded by the Word of God, and that is Sabbath keeping. Now, Sabbath, what we read right at the beginning of this message from Exodus 20, means to cease, to stop working, doing nothing for a 24-hour period. Now, what day your Sabbath falls on, Paul speaks about one day not being more important than another day. Jewish people celebrate their Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday. Traditionally, Christians, we've celebrated the Sabbath on a Sunday. But it is a 24-hour period when we stop. Jewish people prepare for their Sabbaths. They prepare the food the night before. They make sure the clothes are washed. They make sure all their chores and everything are done, because on their Sabbath, they don't do anything that is considered work. A Sabbath is a stopping. It's a setting apart of a day and saying this day belongs to God. And so what we need to know about Sabbath is God has created us to need a Sabbath. I once read an article, a review that said that people had researched how many days in a week were the best. So people have tried a 4-day week, a 3-day week, you know, a 5-day week, you know, with all these different days off. At the end of it, they discovered what was best for people and productivity. Guess what it was? A 6-day week with 1 day off. Why is that? Because God created us this way. Something I want to say to you is when it comes to a Sabbath, we need to avoid legalism. Remember reading the Gospels, Jesus healing on the Sabbath, Jesus doing good works on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees going after him and saying, you're breaking the law, how can you be doing this? And Jesus coming and saying, no, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so we need to keep that in mind. So the first thing I want to say to you is we go through these things as we look at the principles of Sabbath. We need to avoid legalism. We need to avoid getting caught up in rules. God has given us the Sabbath. It is a gift from him. He has formed us to need a Sabbath. And when we use a Sabbath and when we participate in a Sabbath, it is good for us and it is good for everyone around us. But when we get caught up in a rule and a law, then it's going to be become something that we feel we're forced to do, when this needs to be something that we want to do. So the principles of the Sabbath. What is required in order for us to have a Sabbath? Well, like daily office, we need to stop. We need to stop for 24 hours. We need to stop working. We need to stop doing. A Sabbath is not a time to catch up on the ironing, to do the housework, to pay the bills. Sabbath time is a time for stopping. And for some of us, that may mean stopping work, stopping chores, stopping the things that exhaust us, stopping technology, stopping all the emails and the texts, the TV, whatever that may be. But we need to stop. And stopping is really hard, because we have to admit that the world continues without us. The world doesn't need us. If we stop, everything will carry on going. And if we're honest, that's a little hard sometimes. We live in a world where it's all about productivity, achieving something. When we take a Sabbath, we're saying for 24 hours, you've been given permission to achieve nothing, well, seemingly nothing. You're not going to produce anything. You're not going to be productive according to the world. You're just going to stop. And that's the first thing about a Sabbath. And a Sabbath is about trusting, isn't it? Because when we stop, we're trusting God to provide. We're trusting the world's going to carry on without us. We're trusting that we are accepted, not because of what we do, but because of who we are, which is why a Sabbath is so important. Why we need to get off the hamster wheel and just stop. The next thing is we need to rest. Remember the beginning in Exodus 20? Let's go back to Genesis. God worked for 6 days and he created everything. And on the seventh day, he rested. He formed us. He created us to work 6 days and to rest on the seventh, to rest a day. We need to take time to stop and to rest from the things that drain us, to rest from the things that pull out of us. You know, in the book, Pete Zero tells the story about a group in America that were in wagons and they were traveling. It was autumn and they needed to get to the place where they're going to be building their encampment for their permanent place to stay. And the weather was starting to turn. They, up until this point, had traveled 6 days and rested on the seventh. But now winter was coming on, and one group felt that they should just give up on the rest day and just travel 7 days a week. The other groups thought no, that it was the right thing to do to continue to keep the Sabbath. So the group split. One traveled 7 days a week and one traveled six and rested one. Which group do you think got to the place first? If you said the group that obeyed God's word and worked six and rested one day, you would be correct. They got there first, because the one day of rest for the animals, the one day of rest for all the people, meant that the other 6 days were that much more productive. So all of us need to stop and we need to rest for 24 hours, for a full 24 hours. The next principle of a Sabbath is delight. And this is one that I've overlooked so often in my life. You get the stop, you get the rest. But how many of us have had a day when we've stopped, we've rested, but when we got back on the next day, it hasn't felt great because we didn't plan. We didn't fill our day with stuff we enjoyed. And so, yeah, we stopped, we rested, but because it wasn't enjoyable, it didn't feel great. So yes, we're going to rest from all the things that drain us, but then we need to do the things that fill us up. A Sabbath day is a day of enjoyment. It's a day to go eat your favorite food, to cook, to draw if you're an artist, to spend time with your favorite people, to visit museums, to go on nature walks, to go bungee jumping if that's what does it for you. It's a day to do the things that you delight in, the things that fill you up, that make you feel energized. We're stopping working, we're resting from the things that drain us, but we're going to spend our time doing the things that we love to do. So this is a really, really important part of Sabbath. Delight. Being delightful. And to do this, you need to plan. You need to think ahead. Your Sabbath should be a planned day, not a day that, oh, it's coming. We need to think about how we're going to make sure that all of our work is done so the Sabbath is completely free of work. And then what are we going to do on this day that God has given us? What are we going to do that we love, that we enjoy, that we can be filled up and energized? And the last part of the Sabbath is contemplation. It's God's day after all. It's a day when we honor him, when we think about him. So in the midst of our stopping and our resting and our delighting and enjoying, we also need to take the time to contemplate, to think on God, to spend time in his presence, because there is nothing that fills us more. There is nothing that will energize us more. There is nothing that will renew us more than being in the presence of our Lord and Savior. There is no greater place of love, forgiveness, and acceptance than being with him. And when we do these things, when we fully participate in a Sabbath, imagine what our lives will be like. Imagine what it will be like to have a proper Sabbath, a time of stopping, resting, delighting, contemplating, and being with God for 24 hours. Imagine what we're going to be like the next day. Imagine how positive we're going to be, how energized we're going to be, how much easier it's going to be to love the people around us, how much easier it's going to be to get on with the work that we have, that we've been called to do, wherever that may be. God formed us to need a Sabbath. He formed us to work 6 days and to stop for one. You know, God created us. He knows exactly how we best function. A car manual by the manufacturer will tell you how your car best functions. It's going to tell you whether petrol should go in it, whether diesel should go in it, whether it runs on electricity. I tell you what, unless you've come up with some new invention, none of them, however, run well on water. And if you put water into these petrol or diesel or even electric cars, they are going to break down. All of us read the manuals for our cars and we go, okay, that's what I need to power my vehicle. And we go ahead and we do that. We don't go off track. God has told us the best way for us to be powered and empowered going forward is to have 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. That we need to be 2, 3, 4 times a day in his presence, having a habit of being with him and being close to him, trusting him, loving him, allowing him into our lives. Sabbath keeping and daily office summon us to slow down to God's rhythm, for when we are busier than God requires, we damage ourselves. This is a very practical message this morning with very clear steps on what we need to be doing. And some of you may go, okay, but putting it into practice is much tougher, I'll be honest, than it sounds. But the result, what we could have in our lives if we live our lives the way God created us to, could truly be amazing. So I want to challenge you to develop the habit of a daily office. I want to challenge you to develop a true Sabbath with all the principles involved in it. And maybe that's not going to happen overnight. I doubt it will. It may take weeks, months to develop this process of a daily office, to develop the process of a Sabbath. So you're going to probably have to get the stopping right and the resting right, discovering delight. How do I plan for it? So it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take you a while to get this. But I really challenge you, as I challenge myself right now, that we need to be doing this so that we can be emotionally healthy, so we can be spiritually healthy, so we can be the kinds of people that can love God well and love other people well. God has given us this lifeline. We need to take hold of it while we can. Let me pray as we end this service. Lord God, thank you that you are so awesome. Thank you that you have provided for us in this amazing way of having a daily office and a Sabbath. Please help us, Lord God, to put this into practice. I pray in your name. Amen. Look forward to seeing you very soon. Have a good week.